Well, good evening and welcome. This is Chris Robinson, and I am joined tonight by Deb and Gina. I want to welcome you to this week, the third week of the 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. You know, over the past couple of weeks, we've talked about a couple different laws, the law of intentionality, the law of the mirror, and tonight we're going to be talking about the law of the rubber band. For those of you that are just joining for the first time, my name is Chris Robinson. I am a speaker, coach, and trainer with the John Maxwell team, as well as one of the teaching faculty members. I've been a part of the program since March of 2011. You know, one of the efforts that we're trying to do with hosting these calls is, you know, raising awareness about what the John Maxwell team does, as well as showcasing some of the material that we have access to that you can have access to as well. And once you have access to that, you can deliver it in a format just like we are tonight, which we use in a mastermind-type format, and it really gives you a great base to go off of and learn from. And if you'd like more about the John Maxwell team and about that process and what it looks like to get certified, be sure to go to www.johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws, number one, five, then laws. And if you could actually learn more, currently right now we have a $1,000 scholarship offer that is currently going right now. And so let's jump into it tonight. Deb, I want to welcome you to the call. Deb, give us a quick introduction here of who you are, and let's jump into the 15 laws tonight.
Well, thanks, Chris. I have to tell you, I please don't tell anybody, but this is actually my favorite law in this book, and you'll see shortly why that is, because it was the one that challenged me, frankly, the most. But my name is Deb, and I'm actually I live and work out on Long Island, but I have clients actually all over the world, frankly. And when I first started with the John Maxwell team 6 years ago, I can't even believe it, I was in my corporate job, but I was harboring this desire to be a full-time entrepreneur. And after going through the certification a few months later, I actually left my corporate job to do this full-time. So like Chris, I'm a coach, speaker, and teacher. And I am thrilled to pieces, Chris, to be able to connect with folks tonight about this particular content, because this is something that whether you're in a job, you're a ministry leader, you're a parent, you're a community leader, or you own your own business, we all bump into the law of the rubber band. So I'm excited about tonight's program, to tell you the truth.
All right. Awesome. Well, let's go ahead, Deb. Let's start us off. I'll let you run the start of this thing, and let's jump into it as we talk about this law a little bit. If it's your favorite, I want to give you the runway.
Thank you. It's like Christmas for me. You know, it's funny. I was just having a lunch meeting today with a prospective client, and we're talking about how in looking back in our careers and in our history, that we have found that we've learned the most in the most difficult times. And that's why this law I both loved and loathed kind of at the same time. And let me share with you why. You know, when you think of a rubber band, if you're, you know, no matter where you are right now, even if you're in your car, if a rubber band suddenly appeared on your dashboard, it was just sitting there flopping around, it's really not being utilized. It's really not moving into the fullness of its own potential. Because a rubber band only comes into its use when it's stretched and it holds things together. And the same is true in our lives and in our businesses. You know, even if you think it, as we've grown up, you know, whatever year you're in your life, there were things that you are doing today that you couldn't do maybe 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, whatever age you are. But yet you stretched yourself, you moved through and out of your comfort zone, you kind of pushed the limit a little bit and learned to do something different. And what I love about what John talks about, Chris, in this book, is that life is really nothing more than a series of stretches. And John talks about how stretches, you know, that stretching process kind of creates this tension. And I call it the success stretch. And I'll tell you why I feel that way. You know, when I think in terms of learning something new, every time, whether it was in my job or in my business or even just growing up, every time I felt that kind of, that tension, that feeling that I'm feeling resistance, because that's really what tension is, it's resistance. And every time I felt that resistance early on in my life, I looked at it that resistance meant I was on the wrong path. And that was a total misread on my part. You see, what I didn't realize was that stretching kind of creates that tension. It creates that resistance. And if I didn't feel that tension, that meant I wasn't really stretching, which meant I wasn't growing past my comfort zone. I wasn't really learning anything new. And when we stretch in our area of strengths specifically, it really challenges us to be able to become more so we can do more. And I don't mean more in volume. I mean more in depth, more in satisfaction. Chris, I think in terms of, you know, you guys just came back from a great trip to Paraguay where you trained how many thousands of leaders in that country?
Yeah.
How many was that?
Just over 5,000.
So think about it. That took some stretching to make that happen. But John spells out that when we stretch in our area of strength, it challenges us. But if we stretch in our area of weakness, it intimidates us. And Chris, that was the dilemma I found myself in. I didn't quite see the difference between the two. I thought, well, if I'm stretched and I feel this tension, it's definitely not something I should be doing. Like, nothing should be painful.
right.
When John spelled out in this book that clarity for me, that was a huge difference maker in my approach. What about for you?
Yeah, so that stretch and that tension, you know, that resistance there, I think that I had the same belief, you know, as you. And, you know, well, man, you know, these doors keep shutting. And, you know, it's not going the way that I was told that it was going to go the first time. And I think that most people have that belief. Well, it should be easier than this. If this is the right thing, the right direction to go, then doors should just fly open because this is my intention. This is the direction I want to go. And then we get this resistance. We go, well, maybe that's not for us. You know, but here's what we have to understand. I talked about it last week. You know, when you look at any biography, you know, every story is the same. It's dream, struggle, success. Dream, struggle, success. And in every biography that you read about, it's about an above average person. You know, they don't make biographies about average people. And so those people have the ability to hold on through the struggle longer than the average person. And so it was after watching biographies, reading biographies, and knowing that, you know, success is a series of failures, and understanding that in entrepreneurship, we're not being graded. And so when we get an F, what an F stands for is found out that didn't work. Found out that didn't work. There's no F's in entrepreneurship when we're trying to go into that career, that building. There's nobody grading right now. This is life, and there's going to be tension. There's going to be issues. There's going to be struggles in order to get there. But it took me a long time to learn that lesson.
Oh, that's so, so true, my friend. And, you know, John talks about the benefits of stretching. And this is where I want those of us that are on the phone, think in terms of your area of stretching. You know, where are you trying to stretch yourself today, whether it's personal growth, whether it's professional growth, whether it's growing something or an idea, you know, sort of launching something new. John talks about the very first benefit of stretching is that few people actually want to stretch. I mean, most people fell into the category that you and I were in, Chris, right? It's like, wait a minute, what do you mean that it's painful? What do you mean there's resistance here? I didn't expect that. The other one was settling for the status quo leads to destruction ultimately. And I'd love for you, Chris, maybe to share with us a little bit on how that's hit you in your life and business.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about settling for the status quo, it's a rotten pit in the side of my stomach, and I remembered this greatly whenever I was in one of those tension times, and this is I don't share this story often, but for whatever reason I want to share this one tonight because, you know, but prior to John Maxwell's team, I had a very good amount of success, and I had went off on my own and tried to start my own business, and I didn't realize that, hey, 100% of my skill set did not transfer to this new business that I was into, and it failed. Then immediately I bounced back, and, you know, I started another one. It failed. And I remember looking up one morning and telling my wife, well, we're going to be negative $9,000 going into next month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what we need to come up in. And I remember at that time I had a large house. I had high-end cars. I had a BMW. I had a Hummer. And I'm sitting here in this Hummer crying at a stoplight. I mean, I'm just bawling. You know, how do you know this was supposed to work? And I'm crying, and I'm thinking of, you know, who's feeling sorry for the guy crying in the Hummer, first of all, and then
that's actually good, yeah.
You know, like, hello, get rid of this. But I remember looking at the vehicle in front of me. It was a Ford F-150. It was a black one. On the back of it, it had a little silver fireman's flag. On that little seal, and I remember looking at that seal. Now, I honor our servicemen. I honor what they do, but what it was me was a representation of a normal job. Mm-hmm. And I remember crying out in that car, and I'm a person of faith, so I'm crying out to God, why can't I just do a normal job? And in the most audible voice that I believe that I've heard, something outside of myself, you know, what I believe was God said this to me, because I didn't put that in you.
Mm. Wow.
And I mean, and at that point in time, I'm just like, okay, I don't know how this is going to work, but I just can't settle. I just can't go do the job. I just can't go do the thing. I could not sleep. I could not wake. The thought of me actually just going and settling destroyed my stomach, destroyed my thoughts. And, you know, I love the poem in here that in the 15 laws that I really think epitomizes it all. It's by Edmond Gaudet. It says this: average is the name of this poem. Average is what the failures claim to be when their family and friends ask them why they're not more successful. Average is the top of the bottom, the best of the worst, the bottom of the top, the worst of the best. Which one are you?
Mm.
Average means being run-of-the-mill, mediocre, insignificant. Average is the lazy person's cop-out. It's lacking the guts to take a stand in life by default. Average is taking up space for no purpose, to take a trip through life but never pay the fare, to return no interest on God's investment in you. Average is to pass one's life away with time rather than to pass one's time away with life. Average is to be forgotten once you pass this life. The successful are remembered for their contributions. The failures are remembered because they tried, but the average are just merely forgotten. Average is to commit the greatest crime against oneself. It's the saddest phrase is this: here lies Mr. and Mrs. Average, the remains of what might have been, except for their belief that they were only average.
Wow, drop the mic on that one. I mean, really, that is.
I don't know.
Settling for the status quo leads to destruction. There you go.
Right, wow. So, I don't know where the people on the line are at right now, but if you're settling in an area, I want to encourage you now. It doesn't have to be a big step, but take a step tonight. Don't let that average rot in your thoughts, in your stomach. There's more for you.
That's so good. You know, it's funny. John also talks about in the book that the benefit of stretching is that stretching always starts from the inside out. And I was trying to figure out how that's a benefit, because, you know, when it's a me and me deal, then I have no one else to blame, right?
Right,
I can't look at anyone else that's sort of tripping me up, or the sun is in my eyes, or I tripped over a rock, you know. It, really, stretching means It's me being willing to let that tension or that resistance happen so I can grow through it. And he also talks about how stretching always, always requires change. And it's interesting, when I was preparing for tonight's call, I was thinking back, Chris, when I first was, you know, sort of was checking out the John Maxwell team program. One of the things that I was excited about was the change that it could potentially mean, but it was also one of the things I was a little bit fearful of, because frankly, I had a great corporate career, and I thought, but if this isn't something that's really for me, you know, am I being a good steward of my time, of my money, of my resources? And that change meant I was stretching through where I had already been. And that was a big one for me. And in fact, you know, for those of you who are listening on the line, you may find yourself in that same spot where you're thinking in terms of, do I really want to make this stretch to be able to become certified and to be able to deliver some of the material like Chris and I are just, you know, sort of giving you one very small example of tonight. And that's why we always encourage you to talk to a program coordinator, because it's really more of a dialogue. There's no brochure or website that's going to answer all your questions. So if you go to johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws, just click on the speak to a program coordinator button. Let them talk you through and answer your questions so that you can determine whether or not that change for you is the right one. Now, Chris, what about, you know, sort of the other pieces of stretching through that change piece? How has that been for you?
Yeah, so we're talking about stretching through the change. I mean, change is always, you know, that's the thing. You know, when change happens, it's really, I don't know how, everything to me is simplified. It's a three-step process, just like the others. Mm-hmm. It's change, conflict, growth. Change, conflict, growth. Does it matter how big or small the change is? I go through that same process. You go through that process. The bigger the change, though, the longer the time we spend in conflict. How's this affect me? What does this look like? How's this change my schedule? How's this change my finances? All right. And then after we get past those things, then we have that time for growth. But, you know, it definitely is a process, and I believe a three-step one, that we have to go through. But change always starts on the inside. You know, John always says this. He says that it's difficult to focus on your past and change the future. You know, it's difficult to focus on your past and change the future. So whenever we're considering or pondering change, you know, for someone that may be looking at, okay, well, I want to look into John Maxwell's team, but I've tried something before and it didn't work. You know, well, I invested in this program before and I didn't get a result. That's irrelevant whether you did or not. What happens now is, can you and could this be the platform that you're looking for? Could it be the step that you need? Could it be that you were missing some components? Could it be that you weren't ready to implement at the level that you needed to at that period of time? And so it's change, it's conflict, it's growth.
I love it.
There you go.
You know, John also talks about stretching sets us apart from others. And that was so true for me because, you know, especially when you hit a certain season in your life, things start to get a little bit easier. You know, maybe we've become more proficient in our jobs or in our businesses or in our lives. Maybe the money that was very tight, you know, sort of when my husband and I first started in our marriage, kind of lightened up a little bit because we paid off the student loans and we're in a much better financial position at that point. But what was happening was, when I was really investing heavily in myself and being able to grow into the leader I felt I was capable of being, I noticed a gap in some cases between myself and some other folks that I'd been very close with. And we had been very equal in our career paths, let's say. And I noticed that change was setting me apart a little bit from them. But as much as I saw a gap in what it was meaning between they and I also saw it was bringing me a little bit closer. It was actually closing the gap on the people that I wanted to be around, the people that I felt were already where I wanted to be. And that gave me a lot of encouragement, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Wow. And I think that's what happens. But there's this anxiety or this stress that comes when we begin to grow in a different direction than those who we've been around because of proximity, those that live in the neighborhood, those that we work with. We begin to change and have these different thoughts and have these different ideas. There's an alone period phase. But what happens is as you go on this alone period phase, you're just there for a little while if you continue down the path, because what happens is as you get down that path, you're going to begin to meet others that are going in the direction that you're going. They're going to have those same thoughts. It's often the phrase called like-minded people. You know, and I saw that significantly with John Maxwell's team. If I look locally for, you know, the group that we have in IMC, that's a tough find. I mean, that's a tough find. I remember being inside of a networking group one day, and I had this plan that I laid out on the board for them, and I said, "This, you know, I'd like your thoughts and feedback." And the room was just like silence, and there was no feedback because the thought, the concept was too big for that group of people. And I resolved that day, I said, "That's the wrong group." And I was so mad. I was like, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. And, you know, a good friend of mine, one of my best friends in that group, he's like, "Chris, it's just the wrong group." He's like, they're employees. They're just not that employees are bad, but he's like, they have an employee mindset. You have an entrepreneurial mindset, and you are just in the wrong space. He says, you've got to find people that are doing that. And that was the biggest change that I made in my life. And I tell you, life got a whole lot better when I began getting around the people like yourself, like many other John Maxwell team members. It just works and fires fast. I mean, I love working with you, and you and I, as we've worked over the past several months very closely together, it just clicks. It just works. Why? There's a like-mindedness. Yep. We're running in the same direction. We're running.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's funny, John talks about how stretching is a lifestyle. And I had this exact experience over the weekend. I flew back Saturday from a client meeting. And then, so I flew back late Saturday afternoon. Sunday, had a dinner event with some friends, and then flew out Monday for my next meeting. And when I was at the dinner party with friends, they said, "Oh, you know, how was your trip? You know, didn't you just come back?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I came back, you know, late yesterday afternoon." Like, "Oh, that's great. Boy, you must be exhausted." I'm like, "Not really. I'm actually leaving tomorrow for my next trip." And they were like, "Oh, my gosh, you need to slow down. Like, this is not a life." And I said, "You know what? This is the life I've chosen. I actually love what I do. So if you tell me to slow down, it's like cutting off a limb. It's like saying, well, you know what? You don't need that arm anymore." And stretching really does become part of our lives, but it is also a process. You know, when I first started my business, I didn't really have to go anywhere. I didn't have any clients. It was easy.
But
I did have to continue to grow myself so that I would be prepared for when that moment came. And that is important. Now, Chris, John talks about stretching giving us a shot at significance. And you have such rich stories, Chris, in regards to significance. As we start to wrap up tonight, I would love for you to share that.
Yeah, you know, one of the biggest stories, you know, I guess as far as me tasting significance, because, you know, success is one thing. I believe that the mass majority of the people alive have experienced success. You know, we came from nothing, and then we have something that we thought that we'd never have, and, you know, that's success. But significance is a completely different cup of juice. I mean, it's a different one. It's when you are above and beyond and in a place where you could not or should not be, and when I believe it's really only either by the grace or the hand of God that you're there. And you've got to ask yourself, how in the world did I get here, and how am I helping people get to the next level? And for me, one of those times where I really felt, you know, significance is when we went to the country of Guatemala 2 years ago. And I've had the opportunity to go to Guatemala, Paraguay twice, with the John Maxwell team and the coaches, and, you know, we went there to help transform the country, invited in by the president of these countries to help teach value-based roundtables and create facilitators inside these countries to help change the values. And, you know, I remember going to Guatemala for the first time and training throughout the day and adding value to the people in this country. And then I'm sitting inside the president of Guatemala's palace. And, you know, you got to understand, Deb, you know, I shouldn't have been there, you know, if I really think about it. You know, look, I'm unqualified. I'm undeserving. But somehow I'm at the table, right? And I'm sitting here looking like, how in the world did I get here? And what was it? It was by stretching, by going to a place I had never gone before, by becoming a part of a group that I had never been a part of before, that could open doors for me that I could not open on my own, that can open up opportunities that I could not open on my own, that give me the opportunity to pour into people that I could not open on my own. And to see the impact and the difference that we made inside that country, inside that short of a period of time, that's still going on to this day, has been absolutely amazing and so fulfilling. Wow. Significance is quite different from success.
Oh, that's so good. You know, it's interesting. Philosopher, I think it was Kierkegaard, who said, a possibility is actually a hint from God, and one must follow it. And, you know, we sort of sometimes judge where we should be by where we've been. And there are two different seasons and chapters in our book, and recognizing that, being willing to move into that success stretch, you know, stretching beyond what's comfortable into what's possible is what makes the difference in our lives. So now I know we're ready to open up the lines, Chris, right? What do folks have to do? Just press star 6-1?
Yep, hold on 1 second. I'm going to get that open here for us, and then that way people can jump in and press star 6-1.
You know, here's what I would share with those of you who are on the line. You know, maybe share an area of your life where maybe you've either lost your stretch and settled in, or an area of your life that you're actually stretching in now. You know, kind of like name it and claim it moment.
Right.
Or maybe even think about an action you can take to move closer to where you really want to be. And just press star 6-1 and jump on in on the line with us. We would love to be able to talk with you.
That's correct. So we've got star 6-1. That'll put you in the queue. So if you got questions or comments about this week, last week, the first week, be sure to jump in there. In the meantime, again, if you're interested in finding out more about John Maxwell's team and the program itself, we got our live IMC event Orlando coming up here in February. And you'd be eligible for that as well, too. And we have a $1,000 scholarship going right now. So you can find out more information at johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws, number 1 and 5. So go ahead and press star 6. I think it's going to be star 6 to jump in the queue, and that'll get you there. Yeah, it'll be a bashful night. We've got a lot of people on the line, and nobody in the queue just as of yet. So you'll be first in line by doing that. So, Deb, in the meantime, here we go. Here's a call here. 619 area code. Welcome to the call.
Good evening, Chris and Debbie. This is Summer Hahn in San Diego. How are you?
Doing great. How are you today?
Well, thank you so much. So this evening was really timely for me. I just wanted to thank you so much for touching on some very important things that I needed to hear tonight, especially Deb, when you said you had no clients. You know, you just decided you needed to keep growing so that you would be ready for when the time comes. I really needed to hear that. I've had different things happening through the year since I joined and became certified, and not so many clients. And I've been feeling like my life has been actually out of my control, which it isn't, but just different circumstances. And I just really appreciated that encouragement, and I know this to be true, and tonight it really it resonated with me once again how important it is. And that's the reason why I joined John Maxwell, the excitement of changing, like you said. And so I just really appreciate that. I'm also noticing the gap that you mentioned. When you begin to change and there's others that just really aren't in that path in their life, and it's kind of a tricky road to go down, but I have that resolve, you know, and it brings me right back to what was the reason why I signed up and what is it that God has given me, that possibility, that hint. Everything was just so perfect for me tonight. Thank you guys so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Absolutely.
And you know what, Summer? I just want to just encourage you, because I remember when I first started my business and I felt like, I almost felt like a little kid who opened up a lemonade stand, but nobody was thirsty. You know? But I had to keep making lemonade. And I had to make sure it was cold and it was fresh. You know, like I had to stay in that zone. And by doing the action, you know, taking the actions, getting, you know, meeting new people, adding value to folks. I mean, you know, the power we have in this program here, that little by little, I started to become the person who could lead a business and grow a business. And that growth, I know that if I didn't close the gap on that growth, my business would never have grown to where it is today. So I just encourage you, Summer, and welcome to the team. Thrilled to pieces that you're with us.
Thank you very much. And I really do appreciate these calls on Wednesday night. They've opened up some great, opened up my mind further to just, you know, regular people such as yourselves. You know, just going down the path and doing, learning along the way, you know, and just being able to share. And I'm praying right now that I would be able to go to Costa Rica in March. That would be a huge, huge dream of mine. And so I'm currently praying about that opportunity to be of use. And so we'll see what happens.
That is absolutely. So good.
Set the intention now and make it happen. I promise you, you will not be the same once you return. That'll be a real
victory,
that's for sure.
And I truly believe I'm called to go, and I truly believe that there's really nothing standing in the way. I'm just, you know, I don't know what the process is and all that, you know, how you get selected, but I really feel like this is going to be, like you say, a life-changing event for me as well as for the people that we serve. So I'm very excited about it. Yeah.
There you go. So, all right. Thanks for being on. All right. Let's see who we got here. Our next caller here is 707 area code. Welcome to the call.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Brian McLemore, and I'm calling from Dallas, Texas.
Hey, Brian, welcome.
Great
to the
call.
Great. Thank you so much for everything you've been sharing. And I work with college-age students here, and I really struggle in some of the classes or small groups that we do to help the students understand their potential. They, you know, their view of their value is low. And we all go through, you know, just really learning about our own potential and God's potential for us. But these days it seems like I struggle to convince them that they're capable. And there's capacity there, and you know, I think, working with the folks that you work with, is there some I don't want to say tricks or you know, activities, but just something that you've learned really helps people open their eyes to their potential and what they can do.
Yeah, Deb, you want to address that one first?
Yeah, I'm going to jump in first, Chris, then I'll leave room for you on the back end for sure. You know, one of the things, Brian, first of all, thank you for working with college students because, you know, the youth of today is our leaders of tomorrow. And one of the things that gives me the most hope is that if we can really start to help add value to the younger generations, we have an opportunity to impact generations and generations to come. And one of the areas, you know, it's a difficult for a lot of college-age students or even sometimes, you know, high school students in their senior year or so, they hit sort of this self-esteem, self-confidence barrier.
Sure.
That really prevents them from looking at the possibilities. So one of the areas that I really encourage folks to do is to help folks to really learn more about their area of competence. So if you can help them to identify, Brian, one area of giftedness they might have, and you find ways to help them to use that more and more, whether it's in school projects or after school projects or in the part-time job that they have as they're putting themselves through college, the more we can work in our area of competence, the more we find confidence. So helping them to zero in on an area of competence will give and to utilize it gives them the confidence, and that really will help close that gap. Chris, what would you add to that?
Yeah, and I would say don't stop, you know, because you don't know if they're listening or not. And just because they're not giving you that immediate return on what it is that you're giving out, you know, you have to understand, just let them, you know, you have to lead them where they are, you know, and meet people mm-hmm. where they are and understand that, hey, it's going to take time. You know, I mean, because if I think about myself, you know, in college, I was listening, but I wasn't listening to you. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, I was listening, but I wasn't listening to you, but I was listening, if that makes any sense at all. And so, you know, you've got to be the one that does believe in them, all right? Because they can tell, you know, as we talked about becoming a person of influence, people will and can live up to the belief that you have in them or the faith that you have in them. And so they can sense when you have that faith in them. They can sense when you don't. You know, so continue to be the light for them.
That's great. I like that a lot. I like, and I am. That's one of my gifts is just encouragement. You know, I always see a 10 on everybody, but I never really thought about that. Show them an area where they're doing good, like a competence, and maybe they can take what they're doing there and apply it where we're trying to go. And that's a great idea. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Brian.
Yeah. Thank you so much for everything, you guys. I appreciate the teaching and the mastermind. It's been wonderful.
Okay, Chris, who's next on our line?
Let's see here. Who we got? Oh, there we go. We've got a 706 area code. Welcome to the call.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I've been listening to every call you guys have had for the last couple weeks, and I also read a lot of the Maxwell books. And one of the things, I have a group that I work with, and today, or I guess a couple of days ago, on October 6th, I also read the Daily Maxwell Reader. And it's a mindset. Is the chapter that I read, and it basically talks about when people basically you don't stop learning. When you think you've arrived, you still have to learn. But then there's other people that a loser thinks they've arrived because other people say they have. And then I reflected back on it, and I thought about last week's call of the Law of the Mirror, which was very powerful to me. And I guess my question is, going into this week's call, when you have someone at that standpoint where they are listening to other people outside, and how do you get them to first acknowledge the Law of the Mirror and then add into it what we talked about tonight.
I know you're chomping on the bit right now, Chris. I can
yeah,
feel
but
it.
How do you get people
to acknowledge
it?
Is that too much of a stretch?
Yeah. No.
How do you get that person to self-indulge and understand
yep.
that and see it for themselves
yeah.
and then apply
well,
this?
Right, yeah. So it's twofold. One is you have to create an environment where that conversation is conducive for growth, right? Because if you just walked up to me and like, yo, you need some growth, and you know what, you need to read this, and you need to do this, you know, we're pointing that finger at them, and realistically, you got to ask, okay, well, what are we doing? Because typically, what we see in some other, as we're reading, we're going, hey, this is for somebody else, or this is for somebody else. And oftentimes, if that's staying out for us, that could be for you at the moment. So I wouldn't be so quick to say, this person needs it, this person needs it. Now, you know, one of the things, ways that you can create this environment is the way that we do it with John Maxwell's team, by creating mastermind groups where you can discuss this dialogue with people, and it creates this atmosphere where now, each week, you know, you're talking about the law of the rubber band 1 week, and you're discussing ideas around it. Others are discussing ideas around it, and it opens up the space and an environment for people to be able to take some time and reflect and say, well, how well do I do this? Or, you know what, since you said it was okay, I guess I can admit to being weak to this as well, too. Or, you know what, I have a strength in this. This is how you can help. And that's the benefit of the mastermind group, is that you get to see this collective knowledge of the group, not just your own thinking or singling somebody out one-on-one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I was going to say the other thing I would mention, too, is, you know, people generally look to someone else to see how it's being modeled. Most of us, we learn much more visually than we do through what we hear or what we read. That's true in communication. I think almost 70% of communication is actually visual. So it's really important that people see it being modeled really well. And that gives them the confidence, especially when we're very transparent, to say, you know, don't look at where I am today because you should know where I've been, to kind of share a little bit of your journey with folks and what you've grown through, so that it encourages them to realize that it really is a process. And, you know, I would just, you know, I would share with folks, you know, hey, if I can do it, you can too. I think that just, if they know where we've been and they see where we are and they see us modeling the right things the right way, that sets them up for success. Now, whether or not they take the action, that's their part. But you can only model your best.
Yeah, that's the tough part.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Let's get our next caller here. It looks like a 914 area code. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Chris and Deb. This is Lynn Jordan from Connecticut. How are you?
Hi, Lynn.
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I've had a day, though, so I kind of want to pick your guys' brain tonight.
Okay,
so, so I became part of the John Maxwell team last May in Orlando, and I have always been a John Maxwell fan and have been reading his books for many years. And I have a calling to lead and to empower people. It's a seed that's been planted in my spirit from when I was a teenager and just kind of been nurturing that passion throughout the years. In lieu of all of that, I'm a single mom raising 3 kids on my own and going and getting my MBA at night with the Jack Welch management team. So I've been investing in myself to eventually try and open up my own business, learning the business knowledge I'm learning in grad school and partnering it with John Maxwell's leadership principles.
Mm-hmm.
So an opportunity presented itself for me the past couple of weeks to interview with a position for our CEO, who's brand new to the organization. And he had actually reached out to me to tell me to throw my hat in the ring to sit down with him. And I found out today that I was not moving into the next round of interviews.
Mm-hmm.
So in my humble spirit, I sent an email out tonight, and I said, thank you for letting me know. Actually, Human Resources let me know. And I kind of, for my development, wanted to know, like, what did I do that may have inhibited me from moving on to the next step?
Mm-hmm.
And so as a Christian, I've been trying to get out of my way from having that drive and let the Lord open up doors. So my question for both of you is, when in your careers did you know when to step out of your way, deal with the disappointment, and still feed the passion that you know you are called to be that leader?
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a heavy question, but I'm really struggling tonight because I really thought I was moving in the right direction.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing is that, you know, the attainment of that, because I deal with this all the time, and I've been exactly where you're at. It's like, hey, I'm the next qualified person. And then, you know, people said, hey, you should move forward towards this. But here's the thing. If you truly believe and you've had that glimpse, you know, or that vision of you in that position or that role, you know, and you don't get it in the timing that you think is right, that's mm-hmm. the only difference. You know, as we talked about earlier in that stretch, you know, it was dream, struggle, success. Because you didn't get it this time doesn't mean that you're not qualified for that position or won't have that position. It just wasn't this time. So the first thing that I would always do after I was passed over for promotion is I wouldn't ponder on the thoughts of what did I do wrong in my own thinking and try to figure that out. I'd go directly to the source and say, hey, I want to make sure that I'm prepared and ready for the next one to come up. What is it that I need to work on or correct that puts me in the best position in order to be selected next time and make me a no-brainer? And, of course, they would give some feedback, and then I would go to work on that, but then also I would go to work outside on myself as well, too. Because just doing what they want alone isn't going to get you there. It's what you're doing on the outside that you're bringing in that's going to get you there. And so it happens. It probably won't be the last time that it ever happens in your lifetime, and it's just a part of the process. And so, you know, as a Christian or a believer, that's irrelevant to it. It's you keep going forward. You know, you keep going forward. You know, what it says, it's just fight the good fight of faith. You keep moving forward in a direction. Now, as you're moving that direction, other doors may open. And if those other doors open and they lead to more doors that are conducive to with that overall vision or dream that you have, move in that direction. But don't quit or shut down just because you didn't get a title or the position that you thought that you were ready for today.
Yes, understood. It doesn't make it easy.
Lynn, if I could add something too, if that's all right with you. One of the experiences I had in my corporate career, this was one of those forks in the road moment for me where I felt like I was qualified, and I really was, but I felt entitled to a certain position because of my years of service and because of, you know, my dedication to the job and loyalty to the company and the great work I had done. And they ended up bringing in at that point somebody from the outside for that role. And I have to tell you, for me, it was like a punch in the gut. And I remember, because I'm also a woman of faith, and I remember questioning, you know, like, God, what did I not do something right here? Like, what did I miss here? You know, I thought I was really doing above and beyond what was expected. And the reason I say it was a fork in the road moment for me was what I felt very clearly was that I was being called to prove just how big of a leader I was and could be by how I handled what happened.
Mm.
Could I still model leadership principles? Could I still be highly engaged? could I be supportive of the person who they were bringing in from the outside to take the role that I really, really wanted? And that was a big moment for me, because it was a test of my faith, but it was also a test, frankly, Lynn, of my leadership ability and my capability of being able to put my entitlement, because this is again, this is in my head, my expectation of entitlement to the side, and said, you know what, I need to make this person as successful as I can, and that in fact will prove me to be the better leader. And that's exactly what happened. I set out to make this person as successful as I possibly could, and he was very successful. He was so successful, he was recruited by an executive search firm into another organization, and I ended up getting the role. And then I almost felt like it was kind of like a letdown when I got the role, because I thought I should have had the role 5 years earlier, right? But it really was a test of my ability to be able to lead anyway, to lead through disappointment. So I hope for you that you're able to find what the lesson is in it, and it could be nothing you've done wrong whatsoever, and find that maybe the timing is just not right.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that.
Good.
Thank you both.
All right.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for being on. Let's see here. Let's get our next caller here. 210, Erica, welcome to the call.
Yeah. Chris, can you hear me?
Hey, yeah, sure can. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me, Chris and Deb. I've really enjoyed the last 3 weeks listening to you guys. You guys really bring a lot to the table. Typically, I don't like to talk, but I felt so compelled to speak after the last lady just spoke about the job that she didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
So I just really wanted to tell her that no job will ever define you. No relationship defines you. No house, no car, no material things. Only you and your actions define who you truly are. And just the bio that you gave about what you're doing, single parent, raising kids, getting your MBA, that in itself defines a great person. You're doing all the right things. And I truly believe that God always puts you where you need to be when you need to be there. So that job you didn't get, hey, that's nothing. That's not even a setback. That's nothing. And you said maybe it's a test. And I heard Deb, and I love that quote you said, Deb. A possibility is a hint from God that we must follow. And so what is that hint that God is telling you, right? So that's all I wanted to share, Chris and Deb. Thank you.
Well, what is your name?
Thanks so much.
My name is Cyrus.
Cyrus, that was a beautiful share and encouragement. I'm so glad you called in. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right, here we go. Thanks for being on. Let's get our next caller here. It looks like 724 area code, 724. Welcome to the call.
Hey, how you going, Deb and Chris? I'm Shabar Brown from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Shabar.
Welcome. Great to have you on.
I just wanted to touch base, piggyback a little bit off of Lynn, you know, about not getting that job right now. Mm-hmm. You just gotta be patient. Patient is the key. You know, kind of went through the same scenario myself about 5 years ago. I'm doing my current company for 8 years. Went from one company to another company because I went out and started my own business, opened up 2 used car lots, and then got hit with the credit crisis and had to go back to the call center world. Then I end up reporting to people that used to report to me in my prior role. So, you know, I worked to try to get back to where I was when I left. And, you know, it was a long journey. You know, they kept passing me up. Ultimately, I left the program and went to a different program. And that was the best decision that I ever made. And I just took the approach, you know, ever since 2010, just continue to act as if until I am. So whatever is the next level I'm trying to get to, I'm just going to put in the work, not worrying about be the boss, just be the leader of everybody that's surrounding me and influence them the best way that I can and just have everybody act like we're in another position until it happens. And, you know, ultimately I surpassed that position that I wanted to be, end up being client service director, responsible for 5 sites, and, you know, now I relocated to the Atlanta area. So, you know, ultimately, if I didn't have that patience, if I'd have been, you know, bitter about not getting that position and just kept pushing forward, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. So, you know, ultimately, you know, just be patient and keep doing what you're doing, because ultimately when the time is right, it's going to happen for you.
Oh, Shabar, awesome. That's so good, because exactly what you described, that really is the law of the rubber band, right? You just kind of move through that tension and had to report to people that once reported to you, and you were like, it's not where I am that matters, it's where I'm headed. And man, that is so good. I'm so glad you called in to give Lynn that encouragement, because you're talking about, you know, your experience in your life, and you've seen it firsthand.
Absolutely.
Right on, kid.
There you go. All right. Thanks for being on. Thanks for sharing. We got some encouragers on the line tonight, Deb. Absolutely. And again, we talk about like-minded people. And again, that's what the John Maxwell team is made of. Hey, if you're on the line tonight and you want to find out more about the John Maxwell team, be sure to go to johnmaxwellteam.com/15laws. Here we go. Let's go to our next caller here. 765 area code. Welcome to the call.
Hi, this is Justin Hughes calling from Marion, Indiana again. Good to talk to you guys.
All right.
So, you know, talking about stretching has been particularly relevant. In fact, I was, right before this call, I was writing an article or piece or part of a book, I'm not sure which yet, about, you know, just the struggle of embracing the hard stuff in life and the challenge of life. And, you know, looking back on the past years, you know, one of the great opportunities I had was to be placed in charge of a $1 million project at my work, and you know, it was kind of on me to help bring that to a successful completion with the rest of the team. And I mean, this was something where I probably would never have, you know, volunteered for the project. It was certainly out of my comfort zone, so it was a stretch to be sure. But I really had people pour into me. My supervisor, she's like, "No, I know you're going to say you don't think you can do it, but I know you can." And, you know, that help there was, you know, really instrumental in helping me get, you know, get over that hump of, you know, I don't know if I can do this. And, you know, looking back, you know, that I was able to bring to the successful completion, and, you know, now looking forward, you know, the sort of things that keep coming back to my mind is, you know, it's just really, I'm really got to get over that adverseness to, you know, screwing up, making mistakes. Heck, I just finished reading Failing Forward today. So, I mean, it's a very relevant topic for me right now.
Right. Yeah, wow. Wow.
And of course, last week, you really convicted me about, you know, the fact that it's not about me anymore. So,
right. That's awesome.
Yeah, Chris has a habit of doing that, Justin.
Well, you know, it's not a bad habit, let's just say.
Yeah, it's a great habit. It's actually a good.
And of course, Deb, you poured into my life, you know, years ago, back in pre-Asian Academy days. So,
wow,
you know,
we go back a long time, and
I know, it's crazy, but you know, it's come full circle. Heck, I even work at the Maxwell Center now. Building is Maxwell Center, Indiana Wesleyan. So it's been kind of a culmination of a lot of things where I'm out of excuses to stop growing and stop stretching.
But I love you had a gift in someone who actually recognized your potential, untapped potential in you, and she was willing to speak into your life. Oftentimes, we're almost afraid to say that to someone, where it's actually by doing that for someone else, by helping them to hold up that mirror and show them their own potential, that is a gift for them, that they can now have confidence to grow further and kind of move into that tension of the rubber band to know that it's going to be okay, Justin. I love that. You really had a gift in that person.
Yes, and I've spoken multiple times that as well, because it, you know, in many respects, it really is a God thing, because, you know, I got the job just almost 2 years ago now. You know, it was at a time when I was unemployed, I wasn't receiving anything from any places that I was applying to, and Indiana Webbing was not even on the top of my list of places to go to.
Wow.
But, you know, we kept having these conversations, and even though the role, as stated, it wasn't something that I was looking for, it wasn't an area I was wanting to go into, you know, it was, you know, he sold me on the fact that, you know, I was going to work for him. And since then, it's been a great chance, him pouring into me and me trying to really give back as well what I think. I'm trying not to just, you know, take it, but I'm also trying to do what I can to give.
That is just great. And I'm assuming that you're going to be the type of person, Justin, that you're going to do the exact same thing. You're going to pour it into someone else.
Well, I have started in some ways and in different ways, and I'm just looking for, you know, what platform is. I'm struggling, you know, defining that platform. But, you know, I figure at this point, if I take steps towards it, I'll have a better idea than I will if I stand still and try to see in the dark.
That is so good. Well, man, I am so glad that you joined our call tonight. And it's,
thank you.
I remember you, Justin. It is so nice to speak with you again.
It's one of those things where I noticed that you, I noticed when you went over to the Maxwell team, but register, and then later, as I've been learning, getting more into kind of the, you know, Zig Ziglar and Brian Tracy and all the great, you know, motivation, positive mental attitude, and then, you know, keep coming back to it. Maxwell. Now I got to read this guy, especially now that I work in the same building that you. It's just been a wonderful opportunity.
It sure is. Wow. Well, thank you for calling in tonight, Justin. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Well, thank you for you guys sharing with us tonight as well.
Absolutely. All right. Well, guys, that takes us right to the top of the hour. And it looks like, let's go, Deb, you up for a couple minutes here?
You keep going, Chris. Yeah.
I've got one more caller in here. I know we were supposed to have a hard stop right at the top, but we've got one more in here. I want to make sure we
do it.
201 area code. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Chris. This is Pat in New Jersey. How are you?
Hey, doing great. How are you, Pat?
Okay. Hello, Deb.
Hey, Pat.
I hopped on the call late, missed the other calls, and I was wondering if there's an archive call or not.
There is. Those are typically sent out. Did you just sign up for the calls this past week or so?
Last week, I missed that call.
Last week.
I didn't get onto this call till like 8:30.
Right.
I missed all
right. Okay.
Day.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to see if we can get our team to send out, literally send out the email for the recorded call for this one. That'll come out within 48 hours. And
yep.
If possible, you'll get that by noon tomorrow. But if possible, we'll see if we can get the links for week one and two.
Yeah, it's actually right in the
email.
You should have them, Pat. When you get that email tomorrow by noon, it'll have the replay for this week and then the past 2 weeks as well. So you'll be able to catch up really quickly.
That'll be great. Let me try to get on this call. I am going to be up preparing for a mastermind tomorrow. So
there we go.
Beautiful.
Burning the candle at both ends a little bit here. But
there we go.
Well, that's the way
awesome.
To put a lot of light, my friend. It's all good. I love it.
Okay. Right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for being on.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. Well, that'll get us.
Session is over.
Yes.
I know.
Well,
next week,
wrapped
Chris,
up for this week.
We're going to be
talking about
the law of the environment. This is a great, great lesson.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites there.
Good. And that's actually our last week is next week, isn't it?
It is. So the 4 weeks have gone by fast, but excited to continue on next week, and we're going to have a great time. So next week is our final week, so we will go well beyond the hour. We're going to go the distance next week, and how many ever in queue, we're going to get that queue all the way to it's out. So next week, just like week four of last time, we're going to go the distance. And so bring your questions. We look forward to helping out and growing with you. So thank you, everyone, for being on the line tonight. I want to go ahead and unmute the line so everyone can say goodbye. Have a great night, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.